Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Go!
Go!
Still say go at the same time.
Yay!
Yay!
Hello and welcome. Yasmin, take it away, please.
Hello and welcome to We Heart Worry.
This is a comedy podcast about worry.
And
anxiety.
Yes. I'm Yasmin Akram.
I'm Philippa Dunn.
Philip.
Mmm.
this weekend I was just doing some chilling and I was watching The Beguiled on Netflix, or as I like to call it, The Best Case Scenario, starring Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, I know who's coming up. Because I saw the thumbnail for The Beguiled recently and I was on my short form list of questions to ask Yasmin Akram, have you seen The Beguiled? Because there's someone in it called...
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell.
Phil, it's a film basically about all of my dreams coming true.
Right.
One finds... In this scenario, little girl finds an injured Colin Farrell on the side of the road.
Oh.
She brings him back to the house full of women. What happens? Of course, they go nuts for him. They go nuts for him.
They like the look of him.
They like the look of him. Not only do they like the look of him, he's doing his own voice. He's doing Dublin's finest baritone.
Fabulous.
He's from Ireland. Oh, for doing the war things. To be honest with you, I didn't really listen to the plot because there's a whole 2 minutes where Nicole Kidman is giving him a bed bath.
Oh, Yaz, did you write this movie? and no, you couldn't have written this movie because Nicole Kidman wouldn't even be in the movie. It'd be Yasmin front and centre giving him the bed bath.
It would be no other women in the whole house, just me.
Just you.
Going in, checking on him. And he's injured so he can't get away from me.
Yeah, I'm getting Misery vibes.
It's a bit, that and Misery would be the actual true life situation.
Would you turn it into Misery though?
I'd hobble him if you tried to left, sure.
I know what you mean.
I'd hobble him if you tried to left.
If you tried to leave.
I'd make sure there was no leaving. But I...
This is in olden times, isn't it?
It's set in olden times. So he's wearing a bloody white billowy shirt.
Is this... Like the Civil War, American Civil War.
It's the American Civil War.
What's he doing there?
He's over from Dublin. He gets involved in the war 2 days in, kind of thing. 2 days off the boat, he thinks to sign up.
Oh, okay.
Then he sees war. He's not interested. He runs. He gets injured. The leg gets... something happens to the leg.
Right.
He collapses. One of the wee girls from the place finds him, brings him back. Mm. Every single woman goes cock to hoop over him.
Do they... They try and keep him?
The thing is, right, they keep saying, oh, they want him to go.
Oh.
But they're doing their hair, they're wearing the jewellery. You know what I mean? They're all obsessed with him. They're all getting like obsessed with him.
Mm.
And the thing is, he's just lying there being charming and Irish.
Not knowing what's going on at all.
Every single time somebody showed up with a new necklace or or one of them sneaks into the room one night and kisses him.
Oh.
I was like, listen, all of this is just, it's just common sense.
I'm intrigued now. I kind of want to watch this because it sounds a bit weird.
I mean, the end then kind of it all goes a bit nuts. And I won't
Is it
ruin
a kind
it.
Of a thriller situation?
It's just a very, it's like a slow burn. I think my take on it is, you know, the kind of this thing of all these women being together very peacefully.
Mm.
And then this energy, this male energy, this masculine swarthy energy comes in and they're all ripped apart by this man.
Yeah.
And what a man is what I'm saying. And it was that thing of going, who else would have that effect on a bandy load of women? Who else would be getting everybody, changing their hair, coming in, giving them a kiss in the mouth, you know? Nicole Kidman's doing, you know, the Nicole Kidman thing. She's icy. She's icy, but she's beautiful. She's broken. She's doing all that. She's doing the, you know, I don't want to want him, but here I am giving him a Bed Bath, and we all know what's going through my mind.
I just want to say Bed Bath and Beyond. That's a chain in America.
Do you know
what?
You wouldn't be saying that if you were watching it, because there's several bits in it where you just think, great.
So if you were to review it for a magazine,
yeah,
forget the star rating system. Yeah. You just put down great.
Great. And then
you put down, no, you put down Colin Farrell, space, great.
And then in brackets, Bed Bath. Just so they know which bit was particularly great.
Okay. Focus on that one bit.
I don't want to sound, because, you know, if we were two blokes talking about a woman, it would be, you know, quite objectifying. But at the same time, I'm sorry. I can't help myself. It was the greatest afternoon I'd spent in a very long time.
Is it a long film?
It didn't feel long. It wasn't long enough.
It flew in.
And if anything, he got better too quick for my liking.
So this is why, if you were to make the film, I'd be getting Misery vibes.
Yeah. No, if it was just me and him.
Oh, trouble.
It would be trouble, and he'd want to leave, and I would be like, listen, you're going nowhere. Get the hobbler out.
Oh, God. I can't. Now I'm getting mental images of that film.
Misery. It was a scary film, wasn't it? Kathy Bates was amazing in it.
Amazing.
Which is good.
Terror.
That's, you know, because the Stephen King vibe.
Although, absolutely.
There's been lots of Stephen King films adapted from the books that haven't been great.
Mm.
But that one is top notch. Stand By Me, my all-time favourite film is a Stephen King novella.
Mm.
Shawshank
Redemption.
Talking of which. Shawshank Redemption.
Sorry, novella. You're writing again.
Fucking, oh yeah. Back to my books. Is chapter 2 coming out?
Oh, I don't think you'll be coping with that.
I won't be going.
Did you go to the first one?
No, I surely did not. It's like, honestly, I feel like me and that clown have just been through too much together.
I was going to say, you want nothing to do with each other. I know you are particularly uninterested in him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And clowns
in
general.
He ruined my life. Right? I just wanted to be a normal 15-year-old reading a book. Mm. Changed everything.
Then Sky put out It. It was on Sky, wasn't it?
It was on Sky. Mm. And there, the first, whatever, a year ago, in a car, driving somewhere, I see the fucking balloon. I see the bleeding shoes. I think he's back after all this time.
For you.
Well, I'm not letting him back in.
No.
He did me wrong the first time.
Actually, just had a brainwave.
What?
Was it 30 years since the original, I wonder? Because, you know, he comes back every 30 years.
Well, it's not. Oh, maybe it is, because it was released in the 80s, wasn't it? And they made
We were kids anyway.
We were kids, and Tim Curry did it.
Yeah, he did it. He did him. He was it.
Very good. Very frightening.
Mm.
But now I feel. I listened to the trailer because I couldn't watch it for the second one with it being a granny. And it was freaking me out because there was scuttling.
I've seen that clip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't with that film.
Yeah.
Is it terrifying? Because they're scuttling.
I can't remember it.
I can't deal with scuttling.
I remember Jessica Chastain being in a room with a granny, and then it did get frightening, but I can't remember.
She's marvellous, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's a summer day. She's a bloody summer day, that woman.
Like a, yeah.
It's the colouring. The red hair. Maybe it's more of an autumn day. She's some kind of day.
She's a lovely day.
She's a lovely day.
Jesus Christ.
That would be my review for It.
It.
Jessica Chastain is a lovely day.
So Beguiled would be a great Colin Farrell Bed Bath.
In brackets, yeah.
It review, Jessica Chastain, She's a lovely day.
She's a lovely day.
I think you need to get on this film review gig. I think you could.
Because you know what? I don't do any spoilers, do I?
No.
If anything, the Bed Bath happens fairly early on.
Yeah, you could bring this whole genre to the next level.
Let's see. You could do, yeah. Twitter reviews. That means go back on Twitter, and that's a whole different thing.
I know, spells, no.
Listen, that's a different number of podcasts away.
Yeah.
So, Phil, sorry, I could talk about Colin Farrell's Bed Bath all day.
But we won't.
What is your worry of the week this week?
This week it's an old one. It popped into my head.
Go on.
I was mid wash up, I don't know. But you know when the mind is just idle,
mm-hmm.
and you go, oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I think I've told you about this before. I put on a serious face.
It was a very serious face. The eyes were closed.
Oof.
Very closed.
Yeah. I surprised myself with that now. My heart is kind of gone racing. The level of seriousness I got there.
Do you know what? I feel at the edge of my seat.
Oh.
Yeah, because I'm going, we'll get back. What is it?
It's not that big a deal. So, year before, I can't remember. It was a while ago. It was the crack of dawn and I was in the airport and I had to be up at like silly o'clock. I was probably up at like 4:30 or 5 a.m. to get to the airport for like very early flight. Do you know when you get up very early in the morning, you're not yourself?
Oh, listen, it feels like everything's wrong.
Yeah, everything's wrong. You don't know your own name. I feel personally that sometimes I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. And I don't know if I know my own name.
I always feel it's like a drunk feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hungover, your drunk feeling.
Complete disorientation. So I find in that mind frame, you can get rattled easily.
Yes.
So this was how I was rattled easily, that kind of put the heart crossways in myself.
Go on.
I was killing time between breakfast and flight. And I was listening to one of my many true crime podcasts, of which I have probably too many. And the story was being told about this serial killer, this man in America who, you know, they were given his life story. And then they kind of said, so by the time, by the...
You can do this. I know you can.
I know. I just like to. Yeah. I keep doing that serious face.
I mean, it's like it really is. It's it's like I'm Susan Sarandon and you're Sean Penn in Dead Man Walking.
Yeah. And I'm in anguish.
Yeah.
So the story went with this particular serial killer, but that by the age of 26, he'd murdered 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of stopped in my tracks and I genuinely said to myself, oh, my God. By the time I was 26, did I murder 3 people? And because of the mind frame I was in, being so early in the morning and being so rattled at being up so early in the morning and having to like catch trains and planes and get a breakfast for myself.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to cope with that thought in the moment. So I sat there and I put my hand to my mouth and I went, just think quick. Have a quick think. By the time you were 26, did you murder 3 people? And I believed, and then the heart rate started to go as I started to believe that like I could have been also similar to that guy.
Yes.
Is there a possibility that maybe by the age of 26 I killed 3 people? And then I went.
Had he forgotten he'd killed people?
I don't think so. I don't know.
So he knew he was a serial killer by the age of 26. Like he.
I think it was. I think you could check the facts and go, right, this is a fact and this is a fact and this is a fact, where I just had a momentary doubt. Which is not the same as reality at all. But
yes.
I didn't have the wherewithal in the moment to give myself the grounding talk, which is, yeah, the chances are that you haven't. I don't think you know of anyone who went missing or was believed to have been murdered or, you know, thank God.
Yeah.
And I don't think what you were up to at the time was necessarily going out murdering people. I don't think that was on your agenda. You can check an old diary. You can root out the old diaries and see was that penciled in at any stage. But I don't think so.
You're probably just listening to Take That or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake, actually.
Justin Timberlake, yeah.
I keep doing the serious things.
Not really enjoying it. But there's also the thing of, and maybe this is the reason why you thought that, there's been a lot of stuff recently about suppressed memories. And there was that documentary on Netflix, I can't remember, about the guy, I think he was Swedish, and it seemed like he was coerced into falsely remembering.
Yeah, because he
murders.
Was spending a lot of time with a lot of psychologists who kind of were willing him to remember. So I can't remember.
Yes, yeah.
But no, I don't think I would have. You see, if you'd murdered someone, I think you would remember, basically.
Yes.
And I'm kind of good at memorizing key events in life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the finer details. Don't have a massive short-term memory or anything. I do have to write a few things down. As I say, if it doesn't go in the diary, it's not happening. So unless I just didn't put it in the diary.
No, that sounds less likely.
Plus also, I don't have a desire to kill anyone. I never have had a desire, thank God.
Right, no.
So it took a while between me having the thought of going, God, Jesus, really, please now, please don't let me go back in the memory bank and find that actually I have killed 3 people before the age of 20. No, yeah. I was too busy doing my university thing, having a bit of crack, hanging out with friends, socialising, etc. I think, no, I don't, murder wasn't my on my agenda.
It wasn't
agenda.
On your agenda. Also, I think if there was a case of you blacking out and not remembering, there would have been situations where people would have gone, Philippa, oh, Philippa, that's you. You're coming in the door. You're completely covered in blood.
Yeah, why are your Adidas caked in,
yeah.
in that?
So there would have been, I think, even if you hadn't remembered or opted out on gone mad in some kind of rampage, then...
It would have come to light.
Somebody would have said something.
Because I'm a sloppy person and I don't think even if I tried to cover it up as well as... You know, if you were trying to cover up a murder, you really would have to go to extreme lengths.
You'd
now.
Have to be, you'd have to have a plan. And if you want, if you had to write it down and it's not written down anywhere.
No.
You know, if you want, if you need an organisation.
Bleach, socks, or maybe even better, throw them out.
Maybe.
Because I won't go into details. I don't want to be giving anyone ideas. But,
no, exactly. But did you get to a point where you went, oh, that jumper I loved. Where's that now? I haven't seen that in ages.
Did I burn that after I murdered that person?
Yeah.
No, you see, that's all. No. Thank God.
And also, it would have been randos, wouldn't it? Wouldn't have been in like your members of your family.
Don't think so. No.
And they're all present and accounted for.
Yeah. Thank God. Again, very lucky.
Yeah.
Very lucky. So I think the solution to that worry was I just basically gradually woke up during the day.
Yes.
And by 10:30, maybe I even had a snooze on the plane, woke up feeling refreshed and better.
Yes.
Maybe the brain had reset a bit. And then by the time the day wore on, at least I could look back and go, yeah, that was a moment you had there this morning.
Yeah, that's it.
Where you believed that for a second and it kind of gave you a bit of panic for a second there.
It's interesting though.
Hmm.
I mean, I am doing this EMDR thing at the moment, and part of it is like you sit down and you start off with one memory that's kind of very charged for you.
Mm.
And then your brain kind of takes you. So say, for instance, like I was in a shop and I got really bad news.
Mm.
So I'm sitting there and then, you know, so I imagine myself back then and I imagine what was feeling like on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad I was feeling, you know, 10 being the highest.
Mm.
So we rate that. And then my therapist does the fingery thing. She moves her finger back and forth.
Yes.
And then she asks me where I am. I let go of it. She asks me where I am next. And I could be, now I'm 5. And I'm, you know, under the stairs in my mom's family home and I'm cutting my own hair. So, you know, that was two different memories that weren't linked. Mm. I'm using there. But it's interesting because as we've gone on, there's been memories that I have suppressed that have come up.
Mm.
And sometimes they're not really, I can't think of the whole, like I can get a snippet of something and I don't really know what it is. I can remember I felt panicked or I felt, but I won't, I just can't get the picture. It's too fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think even if you were, if you were looking for a memory, if you were sitting on the plane I think something would have come up that would have gone, because if it was like your brain was waking up to, oh my God, I murdered somebody, it would be like your mind then went in a little kind of like iPod shuffle looking for stuff to correlate with that.
Yeah, I would imagine it would try to join some dots.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank God none of that followed. Because imagine if you did.
Imagine if you did murder someone and your face was red.
You'd be mortified.
You're just going, I did not even think that was happening.
No.
Also, do you think, and this is, I'm not for 1 second suggesting this is true, but just to throw it for somebody who might be thinking at home, do you have some suppressed rage?
Me?
You did the most kind of innocent face I've ever seen. Never.
The opposite of the serious face.
Yeah.
No, why would you think that you'd need to be carrying rage in order to think that you were capable of maybe at some stage killing someone?
No, I think not to think that. I think if you had suppressed rage, it might be more normal that you might black out and kill somebody.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Because I don't, I mean, like.
I do get angry about stuff, definitely.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, well, anger is a perfectly logical emotion.
Absolutely.
But. I just don't know, because when someone blots out and goes on a killing rampage, is it because they've got, well, it's coming from massive trauma, isn't it, from them?
I'd say the reasons are as different as the people who do those things.
That's true.
I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Various various reasons.
But the thing is, you just go, everyone's got their trauma. Everyone's got their own stuff. You can't go around murdering people just because you got trauma.
No.
Because, you know,
plenty of people who have had rough lives don't resort.
Exactly. And I can say, hand to my heart, I would never in real life try and hold Colin Farrell against his will. Okay. I would say, you're free to go.
Mm-hmm.
Just
let me get the sledgehammer first.
Just let me, like, hold you. No, I wouldn't touch him against his will, is what I'm saying. I would just be like, look, it's not my fault. In this scenario, he had an accident and I've taken him into my farmhouse and I'm taking care of him. But I wouldn't do anything other than feed him.
Yeah, make sure he got better.
Yeah.
And send him on his way.
Exactly. And say, it was lovely to have you.
Yeah. Wish him well. Wish him well in life.
You look like an angel. Good luck.
Tell him to change that bandage on the leg at least once a day. Give it a good wash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tell him that. Sorry.
You're right.
Ooh. Something's gone down the wrong way.
Everything's going down the wrong way.
I think it's actually, it's something to do with Colin. I think it's love. It's actual love coming up. Sorry. And do you know when you go, I haven't even eaten anything this morning that would mean it came back up again.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. You do. You sometimes go, oh, if you feel like a bit wheezy, you go,
yeah,
what would actually come up? Because
well,
I don't
listen,
know what's in there.
I think it's taken care of, but I can't be sure. So sorry if I start doing that again.
No.
But I think it was probably love.
It was probably love. If you were to guess.
Yeah. If I was to start a review, I'd say...
Review what now? You've reviewed Beguiled and you've reviewed It Part 2, even though it hasn't come out yet.
I'd review, my review of this podcast, this episode of this podcast, would be,
it was
that sounded like love.
Sounded like love.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, I'm not ruining anything for anyone.
Yeah. You're encouraging people to get involved themselves.
Yeah. Actually, I'd say choking. The choking sounded like love.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cryptic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They'd tune in. They'd be disappointed.
Find out for yourself. So anyway, that I had that thought a long time ago. I'm glad I haven't had it since. I recognise it was an early morning moment of what the hell is going on.
Yes.
That happens in the early morning when you're about your business.
I always feel very raw in the early morning. I always feel like I'm a wound that just manages to get a jumper on.
I'll tell you what I do in the airport very early in the morning. I do this thing. This is my inner dialogue. Where's my bag? Where's my bag? What's there? Where's my boarding pass? It's on your phone. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? That's all I do for about an hour and a half before I get on the plane. And then you get on the plane, you're kind of like, this is grand.
Yeah, now I'm...
I can do life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally get that. Yeah. I also do a thing, I'm sure you do too, where I'm upset at being up so early. And if anybody asks me a question, like, can I see your boarding pass? I get a bit like, does she not know I'm tired? Does she not know I've been up for a really long time?
I've been up 45 minutes.
45 minutes. I don't want to. I don't know where it is. It's just everything feels like an assault on the soul.
You're not coping.
No.
A big old not coping session.
I'm not a coper. I'm not a coper, and then on the other hand, a massive coper.
Of course you're.
A coper cabana.
Was that just now?
Yes.
Very good.
Because also I do love word association, which will feature heavily in the reviews.
Was that a pun though?
It was a pun, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, coper cabana.
Yeah, yeah.
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 Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
Known to be a massive coper himself.
Very good.
So yes, I mean, Phil, no, it makes no logical sense. I'm glad that you had the chance to have a bit of sleep, process it all, wake up in the real world going, oh, it's a bit. But it's like, it just basically what happens is, you know, when you wake up from a dream and you have time to go back to sleep and you've had a really crazy dream. But it stays in your system for a bit.
Yeah, I suppose it's the associated feelings that go with. They remain.
I had a dream not too long ago that the best friend's friend, who's married and has a baby, had an affair with somebody that I really liked.
Mm.
And I woke up and I was really upset. I was crying, going like, how are they together?
Mm.
Like, she's married.
You believed it. You were in the moment.
And then I kind of went, No, they'd never even met each other. I don't know what I'm thinking about that. Yeah.
Isn't it great when you have those realizations?
Yes.
And you go, I should have never even met.
Yes. Although sometimes it's sad when I had a dream when I was about 16, that I was really good friends with Blur.
Oh.
And I remember being like, I'm just really good friends with everybody in Blur and it's just my life. And then I woke up and went, I don't even know Blur.
Oh, the bubble was burst.
Yeah.
Welcome to All Rather Mysterious, the podcast that aims to unlock the mysteries of the past with the key of fact. My name is John Rain.
My name is Eleanor Morton.
My name is David Reed.
Please join us as we present to you mysteries that have baffled the world.
You had any noises?
What about a door creaking?
You don't have to do it.
That weird kadunk that lights going off makes for some reason in films.
All Rather Mysterious.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoted for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There was a lot of U2 played in my house as a child.
Oh.
And I remember thinking, when I'm older, I'm just going to write to them and say, can I join? And I fully believed 10,000% that they'd let me.
Bono would write back personally.
Yeah, and he'd just go, yeah, come on, come down, we'll just sort something out.
To be honest with you, we're getting a bit sick of the Edge, so
yeah,
you can step in.
And Larry wants a few months off. Do you know how to do drums?
Do you know how to play any music?
I don't. I know a bit of this and a bit of that.
I'm going to throw this out there. Were you after Bono's job?
No, I wanted to kind of do the backing singing and be like kind of, maybe I wanted to be the female element.
Yeah, yeah. But they were lacking that.
Yeah. But I thought, yeah, I could contribute with backing vocals or a bit of dancing, you know. And I, honest to God, at 12, thought this was a possibility.
Yeah.
There was nothing in my mind going, well, do you think maybe other people might want to join and maybe they were inundated with requests to join and maybe everyone else has asked, can they join? And look, they're very well established as they are as a four-piece.
But no, it's...
And your best chance of getting in is to become really good at the guitar and get in as a session musician.
Yeah. Or even do some dancing in the background.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had the, I don't know. But anyway, look, I think I was getting confused.
Philip, if this makes you feel any better, I used to think that they would rewrite films so I could be in them again.
Right.
So they could, like, they'd do Three Men and a Little Lady and I could be in it.
Yeah.
Not as any of the characters that are always, just as me.
They'd write your part.
Just as Yaz.
Oh, as you?
Yeah.
I'd do a cameo.
But I just, I'd be fairly like one of the main parts in it.
Okay.
But I would be there just enjoying myself, just getting in the crack and stuff.
Yeah,
but
being gas.
In every scene, you know.
Even if you're not needed, you're in the background going, hi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just contributing to the overall crack of the film.
Yeah. Ramping up the crack by 15 to 20%.
And I thought that was a very realistic possibility that they go, getting Yaz in for the whole film.
Yeah.
I don't think Tom Selleck's busy.
He wouldn't mind either. We'll ask Ted though.
Ted'll be tricky because he's the comedic element of it and Yaz is going to really ramp that up.
Yeah.
You know.
So just check it's okay with him first.
She's seven, so she knows some pretty baller comic moves.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, with the whole remake thing that's going on, and like, they're remaking a lot of stuff at the moment.
Yes,
in film,
they're making. What's the one that I'm excited to see? The
It.
Splash. Don't say it.
No,
don't say it.
Splash. The remake in Splash.
They're remaking Splash.
Who's
with
in
the mermaid?
Yeah,
Channing Tatum.
Oh.
And the girl, I can't remember her surname, but her first name is Gillian. And she's been in stuff and she's wonderful. And she's very funny. So she was in, I can't think of it. She's in Office Christmas Party. Did you see that?
No.
With Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston and Olivia Munn, who I'm slightly obsessed with. Mm. And she plays this like pimp.
Okay.
And she is hilarious. And then she's in another movie with Scarlett Johansson and Zoe Kravitz, who I'm also slightly obsessed with. Mm. And it's about a bunch of friends meeting up for a
Office Christmas party.
No, that's for a hen do.
Okay.
And she's in it and she plays Scarlett Johansson's best friend and she's hilarious.
Okay.
She's just hilarious.
Right.
So I'm very excited about that.
Oh, cool.
I'm not excited about it. I don't need any fucking Scotland or that big clown coming back at me.
No red balloons, thank you.
No, thank you very much. I don't need big scary teeth.
Moving on. What were you worrying about this week then?
Well, okay, it's slightly similar in some respects. So, and it's about films as well.
Oh.
So I was watching Grizzly Man, you know, that documentary. Have you ever seen that documentary?
My God.
About this man who went to, he used to go to this remote island. And this shows you how much, because I've already forgotten the plot, but he goes to this remote kind of like wildlife conservation-y place that have loads of bears there. They're wild bears. And he camps out there.
Mm.
And he's been doing it for like 13 years and he goes very close to the bears. Like he thinks he's part of nature. And he thinks he's like with the bears understand him. He's given them all names and he's become really kind of well known. He hasn't making any money out of it. He goes to schools and they call him the bear man. And he does like, you know, he does slide shows about the bears and stuff. And he's completely obsessed with the bears. And he used to be an actor and gave it up and now kind of comes to this place for I think about 12 weeks, lives there and then comes back. And there's a guy who brings him there in a helicopter, little tiny plane thing, and then brings him back, comes and gets him later on. But the story is that he had gone there in the 13th or 14th year, I think it was, brought a girlfriend with him. And when they stayed, and there was something kind of changing, the bears hadn't eaten well that particular time. I think it was like the summertime. And they left at the end, went to the airport, but when they came, when they got there, there was some kind of problem. They wouldn't let him on the flight and he got so angry. And he was kind of eccentric and highly strung anyway, that he was like, fuck it, I'm going back to the bears. So he brought the girl back and they got killed by one of the bears.
When they should have gone home.
When they should have gone home. And they were very, like, it was, they had a recording of the killing and stuff.
No.
And but they didn't show it. They just, you know,
oh God.
It was just alluded to it. So it was very dramatic. It was very, very sad. And I watched it, took in the full extent of how terrible it was, and then went, something like that's going to happen to me. And I'm going to say this because I think it might be obvious to people who listen to this. I'm quite self-centered. Like I'm quite, like I think I talk an awful lot. And even when we're having these podcasts, like another one, side worry, I think I talk more than you do. And I think that sometimes, if I was listening to this, I go, is she going to shut her fucking mouth for 2 seconds, let Philippa talk?
No, it's because I don't talk a lot in general.
But I think you talk a lovely amount. This is just rabbiting. It's nonsense that I do.
You're judging yourself now. You're judging yourself.
I just wanted to be said for the record, for people who are just keeping records of it. But I kind of went, why the fuck would I make a film about a man who had been killed by a bear suddenly about me and how I'm going to die?
You saw something terrifying and a lot of people imagine what it would be like in that scenario. You put out your empathy arm and you go, oh, how can I relate to this? And because you haven't experienced anything like that, you go, what, you know, what would it be like if that happened to me? And before you know it, you're in, oh, Jesus Christ, what if that happened to me? This could happen to me.
Yes. I think also there was aspects of his personality that I could relate to, like the fact that he used to be an actor and the fact that, like, he felt more comfortable around animals and, like, in fields and nature, which I think I do feel. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long time since I've been in nature with animals, but...
Yeah, this, the same way that I, for a moment, believed it might be possible that I could have killed 3 people in my youth.
Mm-hmm.
For a moment, you also jetted off to that place and thought, in that moment, you could end up living in the wilderness and dying out there.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans to do that?
No, not really, because I like to have my makeup on, so I don't. Yeah. It's not that kind of like glam.
You could go glamping.
I could go glamping, but I don't know about glam survivalists. I don't know.
No.
If people.
I don't know if that has happened yet.
I mean, I'll look into it for sure.
Mm.
But I think, like, for me, it wasn't bears, it was always horses. I think they're less threatening. They're less likely to eat a human. But there was something about him being in nature that I definitely get if you're very sensitive and very highly strung, which I have in aspects of in my personality for sure. If I'm in a field, right, I'm happy. If I can see, and I don't know if it's a thing about relating that to home and being in Ireland and being, you know, kind of feeling safe and, you know, small again. But there's definitely something about
nature
where I just, it's like my soul can just kind of rest a bit.
Yeah. Well, they do say walking in nature, connecting with nature. I did. Once upon a time.
What?
This is like counted on your hand amount of times, but I read this actually. I was gonna say this as like the thing that I've been enjoying during the week. Eckhart Tolle, New Earth, Power of Now, author.
That guy.
He says if you're very like ramped up and need a bit of chilling out to do, look at a tree. I know it sounds very simple.
Yeah.
But he's onto something. Because if you start just staring at a tree, and you just notice how still they are, yet they're still moving.
Yeah.
They only do the amount of moving that they need to do.
Yes.
Because the wind is, but like they always come back to their original position.
Yeah.
So things come along, move the tree, but the tree will always spring back to its original shape.
Yeah.
Yet it's grounded, it's rooted, it's still, it's calm. You know that it would take an awful lot to topple that tree.
Oh, I need to be a tree.
Yeah. And if you can kind of like admire that in a tree, before you know it, you start wishing those attributes for yourself.
Yes.
So you start to kind of imagine yourself being still and calm and unmovable. And no matter what's going to come along, you'll spring back to your original shape as well.
That's very interesting.
So that nature stuff is magic if you're feeling a bit unrested and you're feeling a bit all over the place. I went for a savage long walk in the countryside last weekend. At the time it wasn't like I was getting much out of it, but I knew afterwards, I was like, that did me good.
I mean, I do love a big long walk, and I think that just is brilliant. And interestingly enough, my therapist said to me that she said that my like if there's a bit of me like the tummy area, like in there in the soul part, is all squidgy, and she said that she's literally right, because I do have a muffin. But she was saying that it's about making that strong so that I don't need anybody. Mm. And that in itself kind of means that I'm protected, like in that way of being
solid,
unshakable, or that I can move, like you're saying, like the parts of me can move, but I'd always be grounded in who I am.
Because the wind is like life. Life will come along. You have to move with it.
Mm.
There's going to be turbulence. There's going to be storms. But the goal is that you'll always spring back to how you're meant, not how you're meant to be, but how you naturally would be.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, consistent.
Consistent. I think though I take things so personally, and I think I feel very at times attacked by life that I just want to run away. I think that's what, again, with the film, what kind of I understood, because I was like, this is somebody who has been, who's quite childlike now. I mean, I would say that I don't feel like I'm childlike. I feel like I'm the oldest tree in the tree shop.
In the garden centre.
In the garden centre. The oldest tree in the garden centre. But I can see like how this guy in the film, he wants people to be good. And he thinks...
He's fully disillusioned with the modern world.
Yeah.
In a way.
I was saying to a friend of mine not too long ago, like I always meet people and expect them to behave in the way that I behave towards people, which is that, you know, I'm concerned with that person's well-being and I want everyone to be happy and
good,
you know,
intentions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I find it really shocking. And I think also it's the industry that we work in is not famous for, you know, having healthy, well-adjusted empathetic people involved in it. But I find it quite shocking that it's very hard to meet people who reflect that back to me. Like you do, obviously, and I've got like other good mates where the empathy and compassion and warmth is definitely radiated back to me. But I feel like if I meet someone who isn't so kind, it really knocks me down. It's because I'm way too sensitive. Like I'm very sensitive in a way that doesn't do me any favors. So I think looking at him and him being in the wild and seeing how happy that made him, I was going, yeah, there is a part of me, you know, if I could just have my little tent but also have a salon. I probably
around the corner.
Yeah,
probably. That still does a blow dry for about £10.
Yeah. I don't know why they've opened there. It's just me and some horses.
Yeah, it's a bit in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
unless you ran the salon.
Yeah,
but then you can't. Then there's.
I don't want.
There.
Yeah, I don't want anyone coming in
because you've ran away from the world.
I just want the people who bring in the shampoo and the different stuff.
Yeah,
but they can come. You know. But they wouldn't have to come that often. It's just me as a client.
We can strike a compromise. It's a pop-up salon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's a pop.
So what worried you or frightened you about the documentary?
Yeah.
The documentary?
Yeah. It was the thing
was that you'd end up alone in the wilderness?
Dead. Dead by an animal.
Well, I suppose that's worst case scenario of living in the wilderness is something like that would happen.
Yeah. And I mean, I know, as I said, I don't think horses go nuts and kill me, but you never know. You could get one. But yeah, it's that. I have a big fear of being alone and dying.
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
And both of them going together sometimes.
Yes.
Yes.
Just, you know, falling over. Tripping over something and then, you know, not being found for a long time.
Yeah.
Or tripping over in the wild and not being found for a long time.
It's a very raw human.
Yeah.
Base fear, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Like, because I'd like to think that I'm, you know, if something were to happen, tip wood? Where's wood?
Is there any wood in this room?
Jesus, there's a wood. I tipped it.
Quick.
That I would go, I had a great time. I had a lot of fun. That was great. I worried way too much. I was anxious. Way too much, but for the most part, I'd, you know, good fun. But realistically, I think, oh God, please, I just need to stay alive for a bit longer because there's so many things I need to get done.
Yeah, I've got an agenda. A good agenda.
Number one of things to do, Colin Farrell. Meet Colin Farrell.
Work with Colin Farrell
from a distance, obviously, because this is going to be the restraining order. This is going to be the evidence used for a restraining order. Fine. Let him run. I mean, fear of death is a natural thing. We all have it.
Yeah.
But it's the running. I think it's more the what was more upsetting about it, more kind of hit me, was how happy he was being away from people, being isolated and being around the bears. Like I could see, I was looking at going, yeah, I would feel really happy in that environment if it was just me and some foxes and some bears / horses in the middle of nowhere for months. I would do really well in that atmosphere. I'd feel very peaceful.
Yeah.
But then I'd get killed for it, wouldn't I? Punishment.
Oh, it's very damning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because who do I think I am? I'm trying to stifle a burp. I'm not getting emotional.
It's that burp from earlier. Was that really?
No, that was
really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was just...
That's really good. It looked...
It looked and sounded very realistic.
Well, in these headphones, it sounds very real.
Oh, really? that less so.
Well, that's because you've
I've built it up. Yeah.
Well, no, you did two good solid ones. So you don't have much left.
Exactly. Yeah. In the old pipes. But again, I don't really know what the solution is or like, obviously there's not. I was just triggered by going.
Yeah. You're kind of worried that like, God, the only way I'll find peace in this world is by getting the hell out.
Yeah. By living in
That's
in
what
nature.
It'll take. And it's still going to end wrong.
It's still going to end wrong. That's exactly it.
It's still going to end wrong.
Because I think that you think about what the places that made you happiest in your life. And for me, it's always been the countryside. It's always been in the deep, deepest, darkest countryside where it's just me and some pals usually and a bunch of horses. Yeah. And I just kind of go, that to me is like, there's that's my happy place. That's, you know,
paradise.
Paradise. I think watching it made me go back to that feeling and knowing, oh, it's like really weird, but like the way long grass feels when it hits against your arms, you know?
Yeah.
Or like, and having to walk through it.
And the smells and the sounds.
And the smells and the sounds and the bugs and the, you know, everything else that goes along.
Oh, was the really frightening thing that the thought of your paradise, i.e. living in the countryside, could be turned into hell, i.e. being eaten by the bear.
Yes.
That your paradise could, that you could find paradise.
Yeah.
And it could all end horribly.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Well, see, I have a thing, and I think it might be a Catholic thing, where I think that God giveth and he taketh away.
No, don't believe in that.
The thing is, if I do believe in anything, I do believe that, you know, there's a good energy in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, I sound so hippie now. But like, I think that, like, you know, there is goodness in the world that's just around. And everyone's trying their best.
Yeah.
And everyone's trying to do good in their own way. But I do also think, and again, it's God slash, like, authority figures when I was a kid.
All right.
So it would be, there was lots of like, we're going to do this or you can have this. And then all of a sudden, no, we're not doing this and you're not having that.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Mm-hmm.
When something really nice happens, I go, when am I going to get fired? When is he going to leave me? Mm. When am I going to get fat again? When am I, you know, all of the things. It's just, I can't sit in a moment.
It's going to go wrong.
I had one moment many years ago where I woke up one morning and I was very slim.
Mm-hmm.
And not, I didn't wake up and I was very slim. I had been dieting pretty severely. And so I was very, very slim. I was doing a really great gig with my best friend that I loved. Mm-hmm. I had money in the bank. And I woke up next to someone who I just thought was the bee's knees.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just going, so nothing wrong with my body. Nothing wrong with my bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with my job. Nothing wrong with my love life.
Tick, 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 tick.
And
tick.
It was like my whole body just seized up in fear. Because I was just going, this is not right. When is this going to end? Because stuff like this does not happen to me.
This is the thing. Was I mentioned Eckhart Tolle earlier on.
Yes.
Power Now.
Power Now, New Earth.
That's it. It's just, what I've just, basically, I haven't read the books yet, but I've been listening to him speaking to Oprah on her podcast.
Oh,
the Super Soul.
Sunday.
Super Soul Set.
Conversations?
Conversations, yes. That's the name of the podcast. And start of this year, she did, the two of them did 10 weeks, 10 episodes of his book, A New Earth, broken down into sections.
Yes, I do remember this because a woman from Ireland was on it and I was like, oh, we can use Skype.
Oh, yes. She phoned in with the question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So his whole thing is just always, you just always have to be at peace with the now.
Mm.
You only have the now. And you always have to find a way to find peace with the now.
Now, listen.
Yes.
Now. Right. Listen. Now. Now. Now, you know about this about me. I am very, very good at surrendering things.
Yeah.
Letting things go and doing the whole, if it was meant to be, it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
If I was supposed to get that job, I'll get that job. If not, that was always meant for that other person.
Mm.
And then there's some aspects where I kind of go, yeah, and I'm letting that go. No, I'm not fucking letting it go. I'm not fucking letting it go at all. Because do you know what? I'm fucking right. I am right about this. So you better get that thing right back down to me right now.
You've made a mistake.
You've made a mistake.
God.
And do you know what? Yeah. Jesus. Jesus, can you put your father on the phone? Because I need to talk to him for a second.
I need to just clarify something with him really quick. I'll be 5 minutes. I'll be 5 minutes. Come on. I know he's busy, but come on.
No, I'll wait. I'll wait. I'll wait here all bloody day.
Yeah.
Go get him.
I've got time. Has he?
Hello. Oh, he's not. No one's there. Hello.
I ran out of credit.
But it's that like absolutely understanding that what Eckhart Tolle is saying is completely true.
Mm-hmm.
So like accept it because it's real life.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin one time said, and it was a brilliant thing, if you pick a fight with life, you lose every time. And it's a big thing of like, if you pick a fight with what is, you lose every time.
Yes.
And I kind of think that's really clever.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it. And it's all in the head. And it's all, you know, it's traveling down the body.
It's an everyday exercise. And I'm not saying that I'm fully indoctrined. at the moment, all I can handle is listening to the podcast over and over again. When it comes to me actually putting it into practice,
different thing.
Very difficult.
Yeah.
It's a big ask because it just asks you to park your ego and get in touch with that calm tree within you and just kind of watch life and be very present in the now, which is terribly difficult when you've got any amount of thoughts run through your head, all these expectations you have of yourself and others and of life. It's an ask. But one day maybe we'll get there.
Do you know what?
With a continual practice.
And even talking about it now, I kind of go, yeah.
Because what's wrong with right now? Is there any problem with right now? You only have now. Because in the future, it'll be now.
What, I'm eaten by a bear?
No.
No.
It'll be now.
Okay, it'll be, yes, it's always now. Well,
it's always now.
Have you ever like read one of those books where they're like, there is no such thing as time, past, present and future are all happening at the same time. And so really the future doesn't exist because the future will only ever be now.
Yes.
And the past doesn't exist anymore.
It's just done.
But the past sometimes comes into your present if you're not dealing with the past. It's all like very fascinating.
Mm.
And then I kind of go, oh, okay, so.
Sounds, yeah, exactly. I have that. We go, sounds amazing.
Yeah, and then you just
back
go,
to, where's my frigging keys?
Yeah.
The house is going to burn down. Did I leave the hob on?
Yeah.
Chances are I did.
Why isn't he calling me back?
This is it.
That's, Why isn't he calling me back?
It's all about quiet. And that's, now, we only have 5 more minutes and that's a whole nother conversation.
That's a whole other, that's, maybe we can get on Super Soul Conversations with Oprah and Eckhart.
I don't think they'd let us on.
It's a bit like joining you two or getting them to
yes.
or getting them to rewrite Three Men and a Little Lady.
For you.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's highly possible.
You never know.
I'd sit next to Oprah and I'd do lots of, you know, I'd back her up a lot.
Oh,
yeah, really support her.
Yeah.
Go, good point. Good point there, Oprah.
Mm.
Jesus, you're not given half the credit you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Oprah for president. I'd do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wouldn't like me. I'd be kissing up to her. What have you been doing? Sometimes we're doing this and sometimes we're not checking in about what we're doing to make ourselves feel better.
Well, that was what I was going to bring up, was that I've been listening to my Eckhart Tolle, Oprah Winfrey, Super Soul Conversations, conversation regarding his book,
yeah,
A New Earth. Haven't read the book. Incredibly enjoying the podcast because now there's 10 episodes, but he's bringing up a lot of stuff where you go, if I could master that and get it into practice, I think the mind would quieten down very, very significantly and things could be very approachable. I think it's episode 1, he starts talking about the calm tree and watching the tree.
Yeah.
And while you're watching the tree, get in touch with your breath.
Yeah.
Be in your body, akin to mindfulness, etc. But the whole concept of becoming at peace with the now, especially because worry is so based on what could happen, what has happened.
Yeah.
We're literally wasting our lives on worry. Worry is a completely redundant exercise. It's a waste of energy.
Yeah.
It affects your own energy. If you can master the peace of the moment, P-E-A-C-E, peace in the moment, because you only have the moment, bring that forth into your life. And then, so I think what I listened to today, can't remember what episode it was, maybe episode 9. They said that if you can master peace in the now, you're almost, this is when they'll only entertain the future, is that, well, this is where they'll entertain the future, is if you can master peace in the now, your future is maybe guaranteed to be peaceful also. Because if you can master peace of the moment, now you're bringing it forward into the future with you. Oh,
yes.
God. Oh, God, did that make any sense?
It did. No,
sorry if I
got
butchered
it.
All that. And again, I'll disclaimer, I haven't read any of the books. I'm just loving the podcast and it's been giving me a lot of food to thought. Food for thought?
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm going to keep listening because it if you can have, like at the moment, I'm getting snippets and moments of peace in the moment and they're bloody gorgeous.
Yeah. I'm going to try and do that. I've just been doing odds and sods. I've been doing a lot of therapy, but I've mentioned that before. So in backup of what you're saying, I'm going to listen to those podcasts.
Yeah.
Also, I did read that book, so I might reread it again.
Very good.
Yeah. Listen, gang, thanks very much for tuning in. Don't ring Colin Farrell's solicitor. Just leave it as it is, okay?
But if you want to email us
about
anything,
our
email address is
weheartworry@gmail.com.
That's it.
Send us in your thoughts, fears, worries, anxieties, what you're thinking, what you're not thinking. Actually, don't send in what you're not thinking, because that's not very interesting.
Then they're not anthem.
Yeah. This is just the blank email. We don't want blank emails. Thanks very much. But listen, we'll talk to you real soon.
Yeah. Have a lovely week. Or whatever you're up to. Make sure it's fun.
Yeah. And live in the now.
Yeah. If you can.
Bye.
Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
My name's Jason Fleming. The More Than My Past podcast will see me talking to a wide range of inspiring people. People who have confronted and overcome addiction or imprisonment or both and turned their lives around.
I did mad things that was hurting myself and hurting other people.
Everybody grows up in a house called normal. Heroin addiction and chaos was my normal.
Some people don't understand the word moderation, and I was definitely one of those people.
The More Than My Past podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.